For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany Hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you could also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
They're scared to talk about their real beliefs because they believe it could come back to hurt them in their classrooms, in their jobs. That's how divided America is right now.
So the idea is not that abortion is the only issue that matters, but there can be issues, including abortion or slavery and other things, that might disqualify a candidate from getting your vote.
So how can you make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds on the great scales? You can do the greatest good deed of all, and that is, by Muhammad's own words, jihad.
Our prince is not one of the candidates for president. Our prince is the one who is feeding us food that is eternal food for a life that never ends.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
For American Christians, Americans, period, you can't say the word Thanksgiving without producing all kinds of thoughts in your mind. You think about gathering as a family. You think maybe about not gathering as a family during these days of COVID. You think about the bird that's sitting there in the middle of the table, the food that surrounds it, all of the things that we associate with Thanksgiving as Americans. Well, what about Thanksgiving as Christians? The kind of Thanksgiving that Christians share all the time, every day, with one another, whether they're Americans or not, that we even share with the saints who have gone before us. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thanksgiving Eve. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend the first hour discussing Thanksgiving, the word in Holy Scripture, with Pastor Will Whedon. Then we'll look forward to a day of Thanksgiving with Pastor David Peterson. Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. A joy as always.
I've been in the ministry and a professional student of Holy Scripture for more than 30 years. Had you asked me 30 years ago, when I was starting out as a parish pastor, how big a theme Thanksgiving is in Scripture, I would have assigned it kind of second or maybe even third tier status. Certainly, I would not have said that it was among the biggest themes. But now, 30 years later, having studied Scripture, it is, in fact, so much bigger than I previously thought. And a lot of that realization has come by things that you've been saying in conversations just like this. How big is Thanksgiving in the Bible?
I mean, it is so massively huge that it is, a great theologian once put it like this: the church lives in Thanksgiving. It is the air she breathes. And I think that is absolutely it. When you start looking through the Scriptures and start pulling on this particular thread, it literally ties everything together. And you realize from Thanksgiving, we learn about our fall into sin. From Thanksgiving, we learn about what Israel was called to do. From Thanksgiving, we learn about Jesus and what he reestablished on this earth. And from Thanksgiving, we begin to understand what the church's mission and life in this world really is called to be and what the joys of eternity will be. All of it ties together into Thanksgiving, which is a lot more than, as they say these days, Tea Day and Turkey Day or whatever they call it. I mean, it is so all-embracive and all-encompassing that the church literally sees it as always and everywhere, our duty and delight, Thanksgiving.
I think you said once, or maybe 10 times in previous conversations that if you look at the life of Jesus as depicted in the four Gospels, you see a man who's living a life that is nothing but thanksgiving to his Father.
Well, everything to him is gift. I mean, the key to thanksgiving is it is the response of the creature to the giving of the Creator. And Christ, as perfect human being, lived his life with his eyes wide open to the Creator's giving. And so, yes, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, is just the heartbeat of his life, because he sees the gifts nonstop pouring down that we're just so blind to. So, yeah, very much so. And he literally gives that to his church to be our gift. And that means not just we're not talking about pretty sunsets. I'm all for thanking God for pretty sunsets. I love to take pictures of them, and I do thank God for them. And I love sunrises too. And even the thunder and storm. I love all of the beautiful things about nature. But you know what? Jesus gives us the gift of thanking him for everything. As we're going to hear before we're done this show, I mean, even for the hardships and sufferings that he sends into our life, we're able to thank God for those too in Christ.
The first place you wanted to take us to find thanksgiving in Holy Scripture is the prophet Isaiah, the 51st chapter.
Yeah, this is such a bizarre place to begin, I know, but it takes us to the beginning, and that it helps us get the beginning. So in Isaiah 51, verse 3, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He shall comfort all her waste places, and he shall make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord." So hold those two together there. He's about to tell you what Eden was like, what the garden of the Lord was like. What is paradise? And he adds, "Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." So what Isaiah sets before us here is a picture of the beginning of the Garden of Eden, when it was a place of joy and gladness. I think we get that part. It's fundamentally a place where there is no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no unmet need. But even more, Isaiah adds, it was a place of thanksgiving and a place where people sang their thanksgiving to God. And now think why it was that way. Because at every juncture, in every vista, Adam and then later Eve together with him perceived and experienced this world, this creation that they inhabited, as filled full with gifts from God, gifts that constantly communicated to them his great love for them and his joy and delight in them. And so as they received the gifts from his hands, including each other, they did so with utter delight. If you think about Adam giving names to all the creatures, that really is a way of saying he took everything that God gave and he referred to name it was to refer it back to the giver himself. His dominion, Adam's dominion over the creation, was expressed in his ability to receive what God gave there as gift of communion with the Blessed Trinity, to whom then he served as priest and king of the creation, offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving and saying his praise. That's how Isaiah pictures Eden. And it's his picture then of how God will restore Zion, how Zion will be a planting on earth of a new Eden, the planting on earth of the possibility of creation itself being recognized, received, and celebrated with thanksgiving as the means by which God, the Blessed Trinity, gives us communion with himself. That's jumping way ahead in the story of thanksgiving, but I think it's a very helpful aha from Isaiah about the very beginning itself.
We are going to go roughly in biblical order, but you wanted to talk about the book of Romans, and you said in thanksgiving we see our fall into sin as well.
Yeah, so we do need to deal with the fall. And before we actually read the passage from Romans, let's just think about what this means. The fall honestly did plunge us into being thankless into being a thankless lot of louts. I mean, fundamentally, when you steal something, you cannot thank the one who has given it because it wasn't given. So there's no thanksgiving to the giver because they took what he had not given. And the darkness then set into the human mind in both Adam and Eve's choice, a blindness that shadowed the one who stood behind creation in love, offering it to mankind as a gift and as a means of communion with him. It became instead filled with threat, and the praise and the thanksgiving to God for his gifts literally die on human lips. And what comes instead is blaming each other, her fault, your fault, not my fault, and twisted words of deceit and lies and anxiety and fear rising up and ruling in those whom God had appointed to rise up and rule the creation. What dies literally in the fall is thanksgiving. So we're blind now to the gifts that shower around us and sustain us constantly. And we use our mouths for far less edifying purposes than glorifying God. Now, Romans 1:21, here's Paul's amazing description of our fallen state. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Neither were thankful. No glorification of God as God, that is, as the giver, as the source of life and joy and light and beauty and all of that. Instead, the imagination is corrupted and the foolish heart, I think here meaning, of course, our desires, are darkened so that instead of reaching out to the Creator through the creation, mankind begins trying to squeeze life out of the creation as an end in itself. And a life like that, Todd, it just atomizes everything. It never looks at the whole or at anything in relation to the Creator. It regards the thing and even people, especially people, as objects on which we may work our desire. They are no longer the gifts of divine love.
I see that contrast with Adam first receiving Eve, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh.
And gift, then, gift.
Yeah. And just being thankful to God.
Yeah.
And contrasting that with the woman that you gave me.
Look at the difference in speech there. I mean, it's wonder and awe and joy and thanksgiving for the gift that was given versus this is her fault or your fault, but it sure ain't my fault. And that kind of distinction between the two kinds of things that can come out of our mouths is something that Scripture is going to sort of open our eyes to see running all the way through, and how, boy, we need redemption in our vision. We need redemption of Christ to actually see the one who gives us thanksgiving as a gift.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's our series, The Words of Scripture, on this Wednesday, the 25th of November. We're talking about the word thanksgiving in Scripture, and we'll be in 1 Chronicles 23 right after this.
When that wonderful engagement ring comes on, that is the center of attention.
Dr. Daniel Pavola, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross.
Forgiveness is our diamond of engagement with God. Lots of facets to our relationship with God, but at the center, priceless, telling the story, is forgiveness.
Learn more about Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, at issuesetc.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the word of Christ dwell richly in you.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Greetings and God's blessings from Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool in Marinette, Wisconsin. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you would be edified by God's word as we gather together to receive his gifts in the historic liturgy of the church. Join us Sundays for divine service at 9 a.m. at the corner of County Road T and Irving Street, just a block south of the roundabout here in Marinette. You can contact us at 715-735-6506 on Facebook or at our website, www.faithmarinette.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the word Thanksgiving in Scripture. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's author of the book Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. These books are available from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find them on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Will, you take us next to First Chronicles?
Yeah. You know what? I just sort of want to pick up a phrase from that. So when God goes to take a people for himself from fallen humanity, that people from the get-go is characterized by worship of Yahweh that abounds in thanksgiving. It's almost like the refrain of the entire hymn book he gives them, the Psalter, is, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Israel was meant to be the people of thanksgiving in the midst of the world. They were meant to be the earthly choir that is counterpart to the angel choir in their joy over God and in their seeing and confessing his giving. They're meant to give earth a glimpse of heavenly bliss, a teasing taste of what earth misses. So in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30, you know, you hear the Levitical priest there to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. So every morning, every evening, there is worship, thanksgiving, praise, and adoration to God as the sun rises, as the sun sets. Either way, it is time to thank and praise the Lord. And the priests here are leading, if you will, all of Israel's worship and choir that way. And then we have a pile of passages in the Psalms to just kind of run through. And Todd, you know, I pared this thing down to almost nothing of what's actually there. It's so full. Psalm 30, verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Adonai. The position of thanksgiving before God is a position that does not have an end. I will give thanks to you forever. It is repeated over and over and over again throughout the scriptures. The mark of the living is that they give thanks to God. The mark of the dead is that they don't. Living and dead has nothing to do with breathing. It has to do with whether or not you are receiving the gifts of God and giving him praise.
It just occurred to me, I will give him thanks forever is a confession of the resurrection of all flesh.
Yes. Yes, yes.
You want to say, where's the resurrection in the Old Testament? People are actually saying things, ridiculous things like, I will give thanks to God forever.
Right.
You can only say that if you think you're going to live forever.
You could not be more right. That is a confession of the resurrection. It is a confession of what the resurrected do. So when you live in Thanksgiving now, you're already living resurrected life is what it amounts to. It's already being given to you here.
What's next?
Well, let's look at Psalm 50, verse 14. Here, remember, the people were trying to throw the sacrifices God's way, but doing it in what we would call as Lutherans an ex opere, operato way, you know, just automatically doing it and think, there, you should be satisfied with that. Now go away and leave me alone. And in contrast to that, the call for faith and in verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. He's like, do I eat the flesh of bulls and cows? What are you doing? He's like, give me thanksgiving. That is, receive the gifts that I am giving you. Don't get the thing reversed. It's all not about what you throw my way. It's about what I want to give you, which will result in this explosion of praise and thanks.
In Psalm 79, a little taste of Psalm 23 mixed in there.
Yeah, 79 verse 13. So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thanks forever, right? We will show forth thy praise to all generations. In other words, if you are of the people of God, if you are the sheep of his pasture, you are summoned into a thanksgiving that literally has no end. It does not cease. It perdures through all human generations. It goes on and on and on. It's that big.
In Psalm 92, it would, for the Old Testament believer, have been a weekly recitation because it's a Sabbath psalm.
Yeah, it's the Sabbath day hymn, and it begins right away with the confession, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So good, to call it good, is to immediately pull it back into God's good of creation, right? And the way that God wanted his human beings to enjoy creation is that they stopped on the seventh day and enjoyed the goodness of his creation with him. And as they're doing that, the first thing that comes out of a human being's mouth is, you know what? It is really great to be able to give thanks to you, O Lord, to know where it all comes from and be able to sing praises of the one who gives all this bounty to us, who spreads this world before us. Praise be to you.
In Psalm 100, it is a call for thanksgiving when entering the Lord's house.
Right, right. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Remember, bless his name goes with how they would have received the gifts. So instead of asking God to bless their bread, they would have taken the bread and said, blessed are you, O Lord our God, for this bread which you've given us. Blessed are you for this woman that you've given to be my wife. Blessed are you for these children that you have blessed us with. I mean, you go down the line and it's receiving the gift with thankfulness and blessing his name as the giver of the good gift.
Psalm 116, again, sacrifice and thanksgiving go together.
Yeah, they do. And here, the thanksgiving is being offered by one who has been delivered from death. Literally, this is like a resurrection psalm. This is on the other side of death. And this is what Christ is actually doing in the Last Supper, right? He's thanking the Father also that he will deliver him from this death that he is now facing and getting ready to endure. So Psalm 116, verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Take up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Now, we can't leave the Psalms behind without the most famous call to thanksgiving in all of the Psalter, Psalm 118.
Yeah, Psalm 118, verse 29, and, you know, it's in Psalm 136, it's throughout the Psalter. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So remember Psalm 91, or 92, rather, it's good to thank the Lord. Well, it is good to thank the Lord, but here the emphasis is the other way around. Give thanks to him because he's good. The creation itself testifies to his goodness, and not just to his goodness, but to his mercy that literally has no end. And I didn't give you a verse, but I want to include it if it's okay. From this morning's treasury, it occurred to me, again, the reading from Jeremiah 33. Listen to these words and think about this in the context of what we're talking about here. He's saying that God's going to restore his people. And when he restores his people, this is what will happen. Inside of Jerusalem, there will be heard again the voice of mirth, which is just unbridled gladness, right? And the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, that is Christ, and the voice of the bride, that is his church, the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the Lord, to the house of the Lord, and they say, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. In other words, Psalm 118 that we just read, being fulfilled as bridegroom and bride rejoice together before the Lord. That's a real pointer towards what's going to happen when the Lord addresses Israel's failure to live in his true worship and in his thanksgiving.
As we approach the end of the church year, the church where I am liturgist, we're doing Divine Service 3, I believe. What is that passage doing at the end of the divine service? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Well, it's following right after the gift of the Eucharist, which is the gift of Christ himself, his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And we thank him for this. So we give thanks to the Lord who has given us all things. We're going to talk about this a bit as we work our way through the New Testament implications for the way the liturgy came to be established. We use the word oikaris, Eucharist, for the whole thing, from the beginning. It starts in thanksgiving, it ends in thanksgiving, and everything in between is thanksgiving because everything is gift, the gift of Christ.
One more Old Testament passage before we take our break.
So Israel, of course, was the precursor of Israel distilled to one, to Jesus. But when he comes in the world, he will come to restore thanksgiving, which is the exact same thing as saying he comes to save us, to bring back the lost, to restore the exiles to Eden. He comes to bring you and me back to thanksgiving and to the incense of that pure offering Malachi described. Listen to how this prophecy runs. Malachi 1, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. This is the pure offering of thanksgiving, which the church is summoned in Christ to offer up constantly to the Father in every place, and not only in every place, but as we're going to hear, also for all things. So when Jesus comes, he's going to literally be establishing that and then bringing us into his thanksgiving to the Father.
Pastor Will Wheaton is host of a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio. It's called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. This is our series on the words of Scripture. Today we're talking about thanksgiving.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we are going to continue our trek through St. Matthew with, I will build my church, get behind me, Satan, take up your cross, the transfiguration, and what's with Christ and Elijah. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana; Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming; St. John Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas; St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana; and Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. It's our series, The Words of Scripture. Today the word is Thanksgiving. What's the first New Testament instance of Thanksgiving that you want to share with us?
Well, as we look at the life of Christ, I think there's one thing you need to always keep in mind about him, and that is that he took the Psalter to himself as his prayer book. It was his. It was about him. It was his prayers. So he literally lives in the Psalter. We shouldn't be surprised then when we see, like in Matthew 11, verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, about the mysterious way that God works, not through human ingenuity, but by way of the revelation of his word. And Jesus begins that with thanksgiving to the Father. And you see him make the exact same move when he's standing before his friend Lazarus's tomb. He's already cried, right, for his friend. And as he stands there, he looks up, he lifts his eyes, and he says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You know, he knows his Father always hears him, but he asks that he hear him now. And says this, he says, you know, not for his Father's sake, but for the sake of the people who are standing by. So he definitely lived in thanksgiving, but nowhere, nowhere does it show like in that momentous evening when he is preparing to be handed over to suffering and death. And you stop and put this into your heart and mind. It will blow you away. He takes the chalice into his holy hands that will contain his new covenant blood. And he begins with thanksgiving over that cup, thanking the Father that he can suffer, that he can die, that he can fill this chalice with the blood of the new covenant that will wipe out the sins of the entire world, and that will bind him to his people from that time forward. And for that, as he's heading into his passion, he offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. Wow. That's mind-blowing.
So the giving of thanks to his Father there in the institution of the Lord's Supper, and the giving of that cup for which he has given thanks, to his disciples are one action that ultimately culminates in his death on the cross.
And his resurrection, and his presence at the supper, and his telling of them, do this, is fundamental for getting this idea that the Eucharist is going to be fulfilled. The initial giving of the Lord's Supper is fulfilled in the church's ongoing celebration of the Eucharist, all of which points to its final culmination and conclusion at his glorious appearing, where we will eat and drink with him at his table in his kingdom. But the call, do this, is paradise restored. Remember how we sing in the church's greatest hymn of thanksgiving is actually Te Deum Laudamus. And in that hymn, we sing, for when thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. The kingdom open is paradise restored, is thanksgiving brought again. It's our ability to actually stand in the presence of God through Jesus Christ and render him thanks and praise for all of the good gifts that have been bestowed upon us. And Jesus gives us that future as a present gift already in the Eucharist for us to begin to live from. So, I mean, you can say his whole life was thanksgiving. Everything he received, he received this gift from the Father, and he's the first human being since Adam and Eve to walk this earth with his eyes actually opened to the mercies of God. And then he's summoning and bringing us with him into that way of living from the hand of the Father.
So Jesus' unbroken word of thanksgiving to his Father that he utters here does not just die and fall to the ground. It now continues. Christ continues to live that unbroken thankfulness through his body, the church, until he raises it from the dead.
Yes, it reverberates on the earth. And in fact, it grows ever stronger. As he gave thanks, he was indeed one man, who also happened to be true God, but one man giving thanks for the Father's gifts. But through his thanksgiving, through the bloodshed that he did for us, and through joining us in his sacrifice to the Father, he's actually set forth an explosion of thanksgiving and praise that has reverberated around the globe, still does, and still is the driving force of the merry song of the people of God. Thanksgiving and praise for everything that's ours in him. So this obviously is a big theme for the Christian to think about. And so it shouldn't surprise us that it appears all over the epistles. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I love this passage. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay, Todd, time for a story. I have a dear friend. She's a deaconess now, but back in those days, she was working at a local bank, and she used to get irritated with me when she told me she just didn't know what God's will for her life was. And I replied very simply, oh, I can tell you that. I remember she was dubious but curious. And I looked at her and I said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. She was not at all amused, but I think she finally did get it. Truly, that is God's will for you, for me, for each one of us. So when we cast about seeking for, what am I to do about this? What am I to do about that? What am I to do? Don't, that's not where you start. You start with this: thanksgiving in everything. In everything. Did he really mean it? Yes. Yes, he really did. Because stop and think about this. If you have a heavenly Father who dearly loves you, and you do, and who has given his Son already to suffer and to die in order to throw wide open the kingdom of heaven to you, and if, in fact, he arranges that every circumstance that comes into your life is designed to bring you blessing, finally, from him, and that nothing can ever separate you from his love? What is it that you really have to be complaining about? Is it not true that Thanksgiving is the order of the day for everything? St. John Chrysostom, you know, is one of my all-time favorite saints. And he's just such a great commentator on the sacred scripture. From the school of Antioch, he just sort of let the scripture exist like it existed. He didn't try to twist it into allegorical meanings or anything like that. He's just a straightforward commentator. And he was sent into exile because he preached very uncompromisingly against the corruption of the Byzantine court at the time. And as he goes into exile, he dies. I mean, he's literally on the way to where they're sending him, and he dies on the way. But as he dies, what does he die saying? Glory to God for all things. That is a man who got 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Oh, I get to suffer for your word. Glory to God. Oh, I'm going to die and be taken out of the sufferings of this world into the eternal kingdom. Glory to God. This is the vision that 1 Thessalonians 5:18 holds up for us.
And it's repeated by Paul in Ephesians, where he says again, making melody, singing in your hearts, giving thanks always for all things.
Yeah. I mean, let's back up to 18. This one, you know, it's a hard one. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always, for all things. There it is again. And so it is no mistake that at the heart of the church's worship, whenever she gathers together, there stands this table before which she constantly raises her voice in thanksgiving, mingling her song with angels and archangels, and confessing these words: it is indeed meet, right, and salutary. Actually, I mean, that's our normal way of translating as Lutherans. Dignum et justum, equum et salutare. I mean, it has in Latin four pieces. It basically means this is what life is for, folks, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to the Father through Jesus Christ, and then proceeds to do so. That little preface and proper preface is one of the oldest little pieces of the Christian liturgy, that the church assembles together in the name of Jesus and gives thanks through him to the Father for all of the gifts the Father gives us through his Son. In fact, the creation of the proper prefaces in the West were because if you actually tried to give thanks for every last one of the great gifts of God through Jesus Christ, you're going to be there from Christmas till Easter and beyond, right? It's just going to keep on rolling on. And so the church sort of each season picks up and lifts up something to give thanks to God specifically for about Jesus. That's the burden of the proper preface. And then it all wrapped up, especially in the old canon, the very last bit, confessed of Jesus, through whom you ever create, bless, and bestow upon us all things, all gifts, all through Christ, all for his sake. And so there just is no time, but there just is no place where thanksgiving would fall silent and be out of place.
We're talking about the word thanksgiving in Scripture. It's our Words of Scripture series with Pastor Will Whedon. He hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. You can listen to it at thewordendures.org, on the LPR mobile app, and on your favorite podcast provider. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. Well, that will bring us to 2 Corinthians, where Paul is talking about God supplying all the wants of the saints. We'll be right back. For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany Hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you could also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
In 2020, the world was blindsided. At the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, we quickly refocused on how to best serve the church. Our COVID-19 response team took action, reaching out and listening to our borrowers. In response, we offered a number of financial remedies that allowed our borrowers time to stabilize. We also provided online streaming kits for churches, gift cards for food pantries, financial support for LCMS church workers, and much more. Life's not yet back to normal, and that's why we're still here for you. Visit lcef.org to learn more.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's our series, The Words of Scripture, and the word is Thanksgiving with Pastor Will Whedon. Well, let's jump into 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul is dealing with the Corinthians in terms of offerings. There's a lot of passages in 2 Corinthians about the offering he's trying to raise for Christians who are suffering elsewhere, but he offers such great words of comfort to them.
Yeah. It's a great chapter, the great section in 2 Corinthians, but I think the move which he makes at verse 10 and following kind of is an odd one to us, but it shows again that Thanksgiving is not, as you said at the beginning, it's not peripheral to the Christian life. It's in fact part of the goal of the Christian life. So you hear this here, verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. You get what he's saying there? He's like, so that's charity of the church, this offering which they're taking up. He's like, the cool thing about this is not only that it'll take care of the needs of the saints. The cool thing about this is it brings more and more people into the joy of thanksgiving, giving praise and thanks to God through Jesus Christ.
In Philippians 4, Paul is speaking there and he's urging them to prayer, but not without thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think it's important that we hear the whole thing out. When he says, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So he's not saying you shouldn't bring to God your requests to, you know, that's an important part too, but that bringing your requests to God should always be done with thanksgiving, with the recognition of what he has already given and of all the reasons that you have to be thankful in Jesus Christ to him, so that thanksgiving becomes the keynote even of intercession. I think that's a really big thought.
There's a Lutheran insight here that the 16th century reformer Martin Luther adds as he's dealing with issues of prayer, and he says, God indeed knows what you need before you ask him. And so that these supplications can be made with thanksgiving because we are assured of the fact that he is going to answer for our good.
Yeah, I mean, you have a heavenly father who loves you. He will provide it in a wonderful way. I mean, even the weird thing, C.S. Lewis has a great section where he's talking about, how does this work? How does God make causality and prayer actually work together? And he's like, you know, it blows the mind away, but, you know, God includes in his causality of things the fact that his people pray, which just is, it's a mind-blowing and wonderful thought. And then that's how you can pray with thanksgiving already. Father, I know you hear me. You always hear me. That's how Jesus prayed, and we can pray that way too.
There's a passage in Colossians you wanted to direct our attention to as well.
Yeah, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So the picture is not of a little bit of thanksgiving sprinkling our lives here and there, but rather as we're rooted and built in Christ and established in the faith, which is his faith in the Father. As you live from Christ's faith and trust in the Father, and he pulls you into that, what follows from that is his life. That is abundant thanksgiving.
And in 1 Timothy, we often focus on the section of this verse 4 and 5 of chapter 4, that everything is sanctified by word and prayer. It's a tremendous mm-hmm. insight for us to how we receive our gifts. But Paul has a little more to say there.
Yeah, but we shouldn't ignore the first part. Chapter 4, verse 4, he starts with, every creature of God is good. So he's looking at the whole creation, and he's repeating Genesis 1, right? Everything God made is good. Nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So the good creation of God, our thanksgiving is our answer to God's declaration that it's good. It's how we say to him, it sure is. And thus, the word of God that declared it good and our prayer, which is a prayer of thanksgiving, receives the good and reflects that back to him.
A lot of people are going to be giving thanks tomorrow. And many of them in our country will be giving thanks to a God they do not know, or perhaps even to a God that they deny exists, but they'll kind of have this general gratitude toward the universe or something like that. A completely uniquely Christian facet of thanksgiving is found in the fact that only Christians can acknowledge that we do not deserve anything. He has given us much less the salvation he's abundantly provided in Christ.
Yeah, and this is the heart of Christian conviction about the gospel itself, is that this comes as unasked, unearned, unsought favor from God. And when this bubbles up in thanksgiving, I don't think anybody said it more beautifully than St. John Chrysostom in his liturgy. Let me just give you the prayer. This is the preface from that liturgy, or part of it. For you, O God, are ineffable, inconceivable, invisible, incomprehensible, existing forever, forever, the same you, your only begotten Son, and your Holy Spirit. Now listen to these words. You brought us out of nothing into being. And when we had fallen away, you raised us up again. You left nothing undone until you had led us up to heaven and granted us your kingdom, which is to come. For all these things, we thank you and your only begotten Son and your Holy Spirit. For all the things we know and the things we don't know. For blessings manifest and hidden that have been bestowed upon us. I just love that prayer because it grabs hold of this idea. Everything that he's given us is sheer, undeserved gift of his love. And this is what prompts the Christian's life of, well, as my pastor used to say, God is actually interested in thanks living. So thanks living, where the Christian lives a life of sacrifice and praise and thanksgiving to the Father for all of the goodies that never cease to rain down upon us, and which we recognize all as coming to us from the goodwill that he has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, if you're thankful for our series, The Words of Scripture, with Pastor Will Wheaton, please make a year-end tax-deductible donation to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting Issues, etc. at the end of 2020. In the next hour, we'll look forward to a day of Thanksgiving with Pastor David Peterson. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.